morning we want to ask and answer a question. The question very simply is this: is all sin the same? And the answer to that question is somewhat political. Yes and no. Isn't that what politicians do all the time? We know that sin very simply is the transgression of God's will, according to 1 John 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If we follow the strict definition of sin, then all sin is the same, isn't it? But is there a difference between what we would call a white lie and murder? The Bible plainly tells us that lying is wrong, doesn't it? Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another. We're also told in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 9, that murder is wrong. Thou shalt not kill. And the word kill there is murder. So both of them are violations of the will of God. But, preacher, isn't there a distinction between white lies and murder? How about this next one? Is there a distinction between gossip and idolatry? Again, the Bible condemns idolatry. The Apostle Paul talking about young widows in the first century, how they would go about being busybodies and getting involved in other people's business, and he condemns that in 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. The Bible also condemns idolatry. In fact, it lists it as the very first sin on the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry. So again, both of these sins are violations of the will of God. But, preacher, are you telling me that gossip is the same as idolatry? How about this next one? Is there a sharp contrast between cussing and homosexuality? Folks, cursing is corrupt speech that the Bible condemns. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. Ephesians 4, verse 29. But yet the Bible also condemns homosexuality and says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Preacher, are you telling me that a curse word is as bad as the practice of homosexuality? You see, in every instance mentioned above, the law of God is violated, isn't it? However, in our minds, we want to contrast the two sins. In our minds, we want to categorize the sins, one being horrible and the other one, yeah, I know it's sin, but, don't we? I would never do that one, but I do this one. See, we have to categorize sin, don't we? And that's the reason we ask the question: is all sin the same? And again, remember the answer to the question. The answer to the question very simply is yes and what? And no. Is all sin the same? Folks, sin is the same. What do you mean by that? Sin is the same in that it all originates from the exact same source, does it not? Folks, every sin that is ever committed finds its origination in an evil being by the name of Satan. The Bible refers to him as the tempter. In Matthew 4, verse 3, Jesus is in the wilderness, isn't he? And the Bible says this, "And when the tempter came to him, he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Satan is the tempter. He is the one who entices our lust. He is the one who entices our desires, our longings, and our want to. And it is he who tries to get us to transgress the will of God. And we know that Satan is an evil being, do we not? "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Folks, a murderer, a liar, a being in whom there is no truth, the very father of lies. It is he who is the cause and the originator of every sin, big or small. So in that sense, all sin is what? All sin is the same. Secondly, folks, the impacts of sin is always evil. And it doesn't matter whether the sin is what we might classify a little sin or whether it is something that we classify as a big sin. All sin has an evil impact, doesn't it? Look at three impacts of sin. Number one, the violation of God's will. We learned that in 1 John 3, verse 4, didn't we? Folks, a white lie, not paying my taxes, bearing false witness. Even though you and I have a tendency to classify those sins in different categories, every one of them violates the will of God. And in that sense, they are all the same. And all violations of God's will are evil, aren't they? Notice secondly, every sin that you and I commit stains the soul. I don't drink coffee, but I've had coffee spilled on me. And that's a pretty big stain, especially if you're wearing a white shirt. And I've also loved spaghetti. And if I ever suck a noodle, then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get a stain on my white shirt. Now, one stain is huge, the coffee. One stain is just a little spot. But guess what? They're both stains. No less, aren't they? And my friends, every sin that any human being ever commits stains his soul. Isaiah 1 verse 16, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away your evil doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Notice those first commands. Wash you, make you what? Make you clean. Your sins have stained your soul and you need to clean up, God says. And God doesn't classify the kind of sin that stains. All sin stains the soul. It's evil. A third evil of sin is this. All sin separates from God, doesn't it? Folks, God is a holy God. God is a pure God. God is a righteous God. The Bible even tells us that God is so holy that he cannot even look upon sin and iniquity. And therefore, when you and I transgress his will, when you and I involve ourselves in sin, we separate ourselves from God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59, verse 2. All sin is the same because all sin involves evil. It's a transgression of the law of God. It stains the soul and it separates man from God. Folks, all of those are evil consequences, aren't they? So again, in that sense, yes, sin is exactly the same. Thirdly, all sin is the same because the payment for sin is the same. The Bible tells us very plainly, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. In other words, if there is sin committed, there must be what? Death. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. And the very moment that we shed blood, the very moment that we drain blood from the flesh, there is death. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There must be a death. And for us to have our sins paid for, there was a death, wasn't it? And folks, that death involved the shedding of our Lord's precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Calvary shows us just how evil and just how wicked sin is. Jesus suffered a bloody, physical, horrible death on Calvary, didn't He? In whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Listen to me, folks. If you and I entered into the Dollar Tree and we stole one piece, I was going to say penny candy, that doesn't exist anymore, of $5 candy. If we stole one piece of nickel candy, sin would be committed. And the only way for that sin to be paid for is for Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. Think about that. It doesn't have to be murder. It doesn't have to be rape. It doesn't have to be the abuse of a child. One little piece of candy stolen from a dollar store, and the blood of Jesus would be needed to pay for that sin. And in that sense, all sin is what? The same. Fourthly, all sin is the same in the sense that all sin will be punished. Listen to me, folks. If you and I do not allow Jesus to pay for our sins, guess what? We will suffer punishment. Sometimes sin is punished in this life, isn't it? You take, for instance, the man Moses. I'm still amazed at his sin, aren't you? God told him to speak to the rock. He was angry with Israel. And rather than speaking to the rock, he takes his rod and he smites the rock and brings forth water unto them. And because of that, God refused to let him into the promised land. He begged and he pleaded with God to get in. And God said no. Sometimes our sins are punished in this life, aren't they? David's were. David sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery. In order to cover up that sin, slew Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, kept it hidden for several months until finally it was exposed. And when it was finally exposed, he suffered the consequences of that sin in this life, didn't he? Even the death of a little baby had to occur because of his sin. Sometimes sin is punished in this life almost immediately, but not always. I can point out 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 or 100 people that are just as wicked as they can possibly be, and guess what? They look like they're living the high life, don't they? Everything seems wonderful. Everything seems great. They do all of these violations of the will of God and nothing ever seems to happen. But it will. Folks, if you're not punished here, you will definitely be punished in the hereafter. The Bible says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the punishment of sin. A horrible, physical, violent death. And folks, that is exactly what will occur if you and I are cast into the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If you do not allow Jesus to pay for those sins, then every man who refuses that will be punished eternally in the last day. In these four instances, all sin is the same. It originates in the same place with Satan. All sin is evil and bears evil consequences. All sin has to be paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, or else that sin will be punished in a devil's hell in the last day. So in those four instances, all sin is exactly the same, isn't it? But we said there's a no answer too. Sin is not the same. You say, what in the world are you talking about? You just preached that it was. How about this one, folks? Man perceives sin as being different, doesn't he? Every one of us in here, if we're honest, perceive a difference in sins. Even though we understand everything that I just talked about, we also in our minds have a hard time getting our mind around the fact that all sin is the same. Doesn't matter how big or how little, all sin is the same. We say, oh, that can't be right. You see, we classify sin, don't we? There's bad sins out there. What kind of sins, preacher? Well, how about this? Murder? That's bad. If I were to walk over to Wesley right now and just murdered him, what would you think about me right now? I got some women looking at me pretty wicked. I'd be looked at as a horrible being, wouldn't I? Lock him up. How about child abuse, folks? Kathleen, I've seen that, haven't you? Working in child care, that's horrible. Little bitty children. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months old, abused. Even sexually by their parents. Can you imagine that? Folks, that's a horrible sin, is it not? Blasphemy against God? Talking evil against God? We've got a lot of that going on in our society today too, don't we? Drug addiction? Folks, that's a horrible sin. So you see, we have this category of bad sins, and then we have a category called acceptable sins. I was going to call them good sins, and I said if I did that, somebody would come up and say, now there's no good sins, preacher. And that's true, there are no good sins. But there are sins that we throw into a category of acceptable sin. Did you know that? Cussing. Bunch of people do that. Yeah. Tell them don't do that. It's not going to damn my soul. How about that next one? Not putting the kingdom of God first. Bunch of people do that. They don't put the kingdom of God first. It comes second or third or fourth or fifth in their life. They don't put it first, but it's okay. It's all right. How about that other one? Gossiping? Every church I've ever been in, there's been at least one person known as the gossip. And you want to know why the gossip can stand in a congregation? Because the gossip has about 10 ears that she can pull. So there are the hearers of gossip, and they're just about as evil. But guess what? I've never heard of anything happening to the gossip, have you? Everybody knows who they are. But never once have I heard of anything being done to the gossip. You just get warned when you hire on at a car. Beware her. She's a gossip. Or beware him. He's a gossip.
See, it's an acceptable sin. Folks, there are some problems when you and I begin to classify sin. Did you know that? First problem is this. The very moment you and I begin to tolerate sin, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, fornication, lasciviousness, adultery. Because we have so much perversion in our society today, the sin of adultery doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. When I was going to school, I had to read the Scarlet Letter. Did y'all have to read that? Woman walking around having committed adultery with a big red A on her clothing. She's the adulteress. Now, they should have gotten a man too. But see, you wouldn't dream of that, would you? Oh, you're in adultery here. Wear this pin with a big A. We wouldn't do that. We've got so much perversion that, guess what? We're just tolerating everything now, aren't we? Secondly, folks, each one of us, if we have our categories, have our own categories of bad sins and acceptable sins, right? And the ones that are acceptable are the ones I do. Oh, those are acceptable. God understands those. God will let those pass. God won't condemn me for those. But guess what? My list wouldn't be the same as your list. And what happens basically is this. We become our own little gods, don't we? Notice too, when we develop those kind of lists, we trust in our own hearts rather than trust in God. Oh, Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9. The wise Solomon said this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart and not upon thine own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. You see, man has a tendency to say there's a distinction between sins, don't we? Secondly, the light of truth that individuals possess causes sins to seem like they're different. Somebody might say, what in the world are you talking about? Folks, the Bible is divided into three different ages. There's what is known as the age of patriarchy. God personally came and He spoke to the fathers of various individuals like Noah and Abraham and Isaac. And even Moses. We refer to the age of patriarchy as the starlight age. Why do we do that? Because there wasn't as much truth revealed to those individuals as there is today. I don't know about you, but I love to go out into the wilderness and look up and see the stars. But if the moon is hidden from view and all you have is stars, yes, there's light, but there's not much light, is there? But then there's the age called the Mosaic Age. We refer to that as the Moonlight Age. Have you ever seen a moon? A full moon? Sometime I'll go to bed, I'll look out my window, and my whole backyard is lit up. It has nothing to do with the lights of men. It's the moon shining. We've taken kids out in the wilderness and gone hiking on a full moon. And guess what you can do? You can walk down those trails without even a headlamp on because the moon is so bright. It's not as bright as the sun. It's not as dim as the stars. You see, in the days of Moses, when God revealed His law to Israel, there was more truth that was revealed to man. But folks, today we live in what is known as the Christian age, don't we? We refer to that as the sunlight age. You and I have all truth at our disposal. There is absolutely nothing that God wants us to know, needs us to know, that has been hidden from our view. Jesus referred to himself as the truth, and he is the revealer of all truth. We have everything we need. We live in the sunlight, don't we? Now, here's what's interesting. Had some individuals who lived in previous ages been living today, guess what? They would have acted differently than they did back then. Do you know that? Many of those individuals who were in sin, who were condemned of sin, who died in their sins, if they had been living today with the light of truth that is revealed, would have repented of their sins. Oh, preacher, that's not true. That's true, folks. How do you know that? Folks, the more truth people have, the more they're able to see how evil sin is, how wicked sin is. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 21, listen to what Jesus says to two cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Wow. Tyre and Sidon were wicked cities. Go back and read the prophets of the Old Testament. And they constantly pronounced doom upon those two cities. And eventually, those two cities were brought to an end because of their transgressions. Jesus comes upon the scene. He's preaching in Chorazin. He's preaching in Bethsaida. He's doing mighty, wonderful works in those two cities, and they refuse the light of truth that they are being given. And what does Jesus do? Woe unto you! If Tyre and Sidon had been here, had they seen what you've seen, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Folks, the key has nothing to do with sin. Sin is sin. The reason there seems to be a distinction is because of the knowledge and understanding of sin. Now here's something interesting. God's punishment of sin makes sin seem as though it's different. That seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? This point that we're talking about is closely tied to the previous one, folks. Now, no, all sin is going to be punished. Isn't that what we said? All sin is going to be punished. Now here's what's interesting. Not all sin is going to be punished the same way. Here's what we mean by that. More knowledge, greater punishment. Again, the key is not the sin. The sin is sin. But the more knowledge I have about sin, the more knowledge I have about holiness, the more knowledge I have about righteousness, the more knowledge I have about God, the more knowledge I have about His will. Folks, if I violate His will, the more knowledge I have, the greater the punishment. That's what Jesus says in Luke 12, 47 and 48. Notice what He says. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, he shall be punished with what? Many stripes. Now notice the contrast. But he that what? Knew not, nor did according to his Lord's will, but committed things worthy of stripes, he shall be punished with what? Few stripes. For unto whom much is given, much is required. Folks, the more knowledge you have, the greater your punishment is. The less knowledge you have, the less punishment. Punishment's still the same. Lastly, the effects of sin seem different, don't they? And that's why we categorize sin. I'm going to take one sin and let's look at it for just a moment in four different ways. Lying. Let's start off with this scenario. A teenage boy tells his parents, Mom and Dad, I'm going to go over to Jim's place. But he doesn't go to Jim's place. He goes to a party. And his parents find out about that party. His parents are upset, aren't they? He's lied to us. He's violated our trust. So what do? They take away his car keys. Can't go anywhere for a month. Got to rebuild what? Rebuild that trust. We'd say, yeah, that's pretty bad. But you know, if you've been through about 10 or 15 teenagers, you just kind of... Right? Or we all know what? We were teenagers. Well, how about this next one? A person lies on his job application. Maybe that individual has committed a crime and doesn't say anything about it. 6 months down the road, though, the employers are reviewing the applications and information is exposed to show that this individual has committed a crime. They've lied on their application. Guess what? They lose their job. And now they go to try to find a new job. And guess what? Can't do it. They lied. The consequences are even more severe, aren't they? It's not just keys taken away, no car for a month. Now they can't get a job and support their family. A husband lies to his wife about a relationship with someone that he has, and then all of a sudden she finds out about it. Now there's a divorce. There's little children in that relationship, and they're wounded for life, are they not? The individual is a Christian, but he brings shame upon the church. He winds up getting himself involved in an adulterous situation and he condemns his soul and the soul of the other individual to a devil's hell. Folks, that's pretty bad, isn't it? See, the consequences are a lot different than losing a car for a month or even losing a job that you hired on to. Man is arrested, charged with a crime, and the sentence for that crime is the electric chair. A man is hired to be a false witness against that individual. He goes to court, he sits on that witness chair, he knows the man is innocent, he knows that he's lying, and he lies anyway. That man is convicted, and 2 years later, that man is executed on death row, even though he was an innocent man, folks. That's a horrible consequence, isn't it? For a lie. See, one of the reasons that we classify sin into different categories is not because of the sin, folks. All sin is the same. We've proved that. But sometimes the consequences and the effects of that sin are quite different, aren't they? And for that reason, we see sin much differently. The reality is, all sin is exactly the same. When God sees sin, that's what He sees, sin. Sin is really only different in two ways. Number one, it's different because of the effects it produces, and it's different because in the way in which God punishes it. That's really the only two differences. But for us, here's the reality. Folks, you and I, we should never, ever continue in sin, nor should we ever condone sin, should we? Never. You and I should have one goal and only one goal in our lives, and it's this. I'm going to conquer sin. And the only way that you and I can ever do that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible says, the sting of what? The sting of death is sin. Folks, if you're in sin when you die, that's a horrible thing, is it not? And the strength of sin is what? Is the law. It's the law that you violated. It's the law that causes you to be in sin because you didn't obey it. So the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But
thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, there's not a person in here. There's not a person in Jacksonville. There's not a person in the world who has to die and face the consequences of his sin. 2,000 years ago, our Lord paid that price, didn't he? He paid it all. And all we have to do is avail ourselves of that. And the conditions are simple, aren't they? We have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, verse 17. We have to believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God. Jesus said, "For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die where? In your sins." I have to believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I've got to repent of my transgressions and iniquities. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. We've got to confess the name of Jesus. Folks, I can't just believe it in my heart. I've got to stand before men with courage, and I've got to say, you know what, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I've got to tell the world that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, Romans 10, verse 9. The Bible also teaches us that individuals must be baptized for the remission of sins. Very first sermon on the day of Pentecost, those individuals cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2, verse 38. The steps are simple. Folks, there is absolutely nothing in those five things that a person cannot do. Do you know that? The hardest step is repentance. Dying to self, dying to my will, and submitting to the will of the Almighty God. Dear Christian, do you need forgiveness of sins you've committed? All sin is the same. It doesn't matter who commits it, Christian or non-Christian. If we've committed sin, we need to confess it. Ask God to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from that iniquity. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Do you need to respond to the invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?